listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. And with us today, Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Rick Hurst, publisher of An African American Point of View. Welcome to you both.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
This week, as 2018 faded into 2019, Massachusetts U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren announced she was forming a presidential exploratory committee. Warren has, of course, long been rumored as a potential Democratic candidate for the White House. John Bednarski of Greenfield donated to Bernie Sanders' 2016 presidential campaign and supported Warren's reelection bid for the Senate.
We should be talking about issues, not about flashy statements. And the person that can do that the best would be the kind of person that I would support.
Matt, if Warren does decide to run for president, what's this going to mean for Massachusetts having a senator on the campaign trail quite a bit?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure how much practical impact it'll have in the short term. I guess on the one hand, there'll be less of her at some of the more, you know, smaller events that are local that you'll sometimes see senators at. But I don't expect her to be away from Washington, not too much in 2019 anyway. I mean, there's going to be a lot of campaign appearances, but I don't think she's going to be missing too many votes. This is a pretty well-worn path for ambitious senators.
Rick, can Warren juggle being a senator and a presidential candidate at once?
I think so, but my thought is kind of cynical. I just don't think that senators or congresspeople spend all that much time in Washington doing things, and I think that she'll be able to figure out how to work out the two.
And Rick, you wrote a little bit this week about what you thought her chances would be going into 2020.
Well, I don't think she's got very good chances, being from the East Coast, for one. And I think that issue of the Indian issue has caught fire across the country, and even the liberal media across the country has been critical of her. I think that her jumping out at the time that she did just now is a good move on her part. I believe she's a very strong woman, a very articulate woman, a very caring woman. But, you know, I just don't think she has taken hold. Beto O'Rourke, Biden, and one other person, she's way behind, three people already. I don't think she can catch up.
From the White House, we go to the Massachusetts State House, where there was a lot of swearing-in taking place in the first few days of the new year. Republican Governor Charlie Baker took the oath of office for a second term after winning re-election in November. In his inaugural address, Baker called for bipartisanship and civility.
In this era of Snapchats, tweets, Facebook, and Instagram posts, put-downs, and smackdowns, I'd ask all of you to remember that good public policy is often about perseverance and collaboration.
Rick, Baker has been extremely popular in the polls, and there hasn't been much contention between his office and the legislature so far, so it seems. Can this continue?
I think it will continue. I think Charlie Baker is a pretty adept guy, and I think those words represent exactly what he stands for and stood for all the time he's been in office. I thought those very words, by the way, I underlined this morning in my newspaper, because the thing that caught me about him, those words sound presidential to me. I think that he would make one heck of a presidential candidate.
Matt?
Well, I'm going to have to disagree a little bit with Rick. First of all, I don't believe Baker has any ambitions for anything higher than governor. And the other side of it is you know, I listen to those words and I kind of ask myself, what conflict is he talking about? Yeah, we could all be a lot more civil toward one another, but that's not really been a problem between the legislature and him. I mean, has incivility really kept work from happening on Beacon Hill? I mean, I would argue they haven't been working very, very much as much as they could. So I don't really understand who his audience is in that, unless he's just asking us all to be nicer to each other in general.
I saw it as a nationwide audience, and I saw him as referring to President Trump. And I thought it fed into my feelings that he is really presidential. I think the guy has a good chance of running. And he may not have the enthusiasm right now, but, you know, the wave will carry him.
A day before Baker's inaugural, lawmakers in the Massachusetts House and Senate were sworn in. That includes several new lawmakers from Western Mass, such as State Senator Joe Comerford, who is filling the vacant seat previously held by Stan Rosenberg. Rosenberg, of course, resigned amid a scandal involving sexual misconduct allegations against his husband. Matt, you were there on Wednesday, and as the Rosenberg chapter comes to a formal close, what are your thoughts on the end of one era and the start of a new one for the Senate district?
Well, I can say that it's not just the Senate district that's eager to move on. There was a, you know, Stan Rosenberg cast a shadow over this swearing in, and it was eager Democrats, Republicans to move on from this point. The chamber had just been recently renovated. It looks beautiful. And I think that they're really ready to move on to the people's business. As Senator Comerford herself said, she was very enthusiastic about the new term and eager to get to work.
Rick, there are also four new state representatives from districts in Hampshire and Franklin counties, and three of them are replacing veteran lawmakers. Should these communities they represent be worried about a loss of clout on Beacon Hill?
Well, they're going to lose clout, but they've got youth, too. And they're in it for the long run. And I think that's typical of what's going to happen to the whole country. And in fact, if you saw in my paper this month, that's one of the points I made. Some of these older guys need to step aside and let the young people come in and have a shot at it.
And finally this week, the new year brought in an increase in the minimum wage for four of six New England states. In Massachusetts, it's now $12 an hour. But for some farm workers, the minimum wage is only $8. Rick, should these farm workers be making the same as what those in other lines of work are making?
I don't think there's any question that they should be making the same. But, you know, historically, we've always assumed that farm workers should make less money. I don't know why. I worked on tobacco 60 years ago, and they hired us because we were young and were willing to accept less money. They imported people from different places to do the work because they thought they'd take less money. Somehow we've become acclimated to the idea.
Matt, what do you think?
I think that there's a systemic problems in the way we do a lot of agricultural things. You know, I was just reading today about, you know, some issues with disclosing animal cruelty that apparently is against the law. And it's just insane. I mean, we really do need to have a serious reassessment about how we do agriculture in this country, from how we pay workers to how we treat the animals that we're ultimately going to become our food.
All right, Matt Szafranski of Western Mass Politics and Insight and Rick Hurst of An African American Point of View, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And remember, you can catch us at any time wherever you get your podcasts or at nepr.net/podcast hub. And also be sure to listen to Beacon Hill in 5, our weekly check-in at the Massachusetts State House. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.